Father God, we're just so thankful that you've given us this place, that you've given us this this building and a heart to serve in this community as well. You've gifted us individually and as a church in so many different ways, Lord, and we just pray that you just keep a desire and a hunger in our hearts to spread your word through this community. It's an amazing town, and we're just so fortunate to be able to have it in our backyard. So we just pray that you'll continue to do that, Lord. Father, help us to find our individual gifts. You've given us gifts. You've given us talents, Lord. And they can be very simple and also very complex, but none is above the other, Lord. And we know that. And so just help us to explore where those are. I recall a saying at one point, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. And sometimes that's our biggest holdback, Lord, is that we don't recognize the abilities that you've given us, and we just can't seize the strength within us to step out of the boat and share your word and share our talents and share our gifts. So we just pray that you'll give us a heart to search ourselves for those. And through that, we'll just continue to strengthen this body of believers here in this church and in Mount Forest. We pray, Lord, that when we come together as a single body under your name, we can shine just brilliantly your light into this community. So we just pray for that, Lord. Father, we think about some of our brothers brothers and sisters today, and I just think about our brother Ron, and also Bruce Kleinstuber, and I think about Norm Ferris, and our brother Dwight, and Dave Peck, and just so many others, Lord, that's on our heart, and we just lift them up to you, and we're just going to take a moment of silent prayer as we can lift our individual petitions up to you for people who are needing prayer as well. Your gracious Father, we just give you thanks for the opportunity that we have to come together and pray, both individually and as a body of believers. And we know that that our prayer reaches you, Lord. And we just seek your wisdom, seek your mercies, and seek your grace through that prayer as well. And Father, we just also pray for our search committee this morning. And I just would hold up the committee members of Michelle and Bruce and Alicia and Rod and Kathy to you. Just pray that you, as you're preparing the right person to come and join our family here and be our shepherd, Lord, we just pray that you will instill wisdom and discernment in the hearts of our leadership and in the hearts of our search committee as we seek that person, just seeking to do your will, Lord, and not our own. Father, we're blessed to be able to come together here in your house, and we just put the rest of our service together in front of you today, and we just pray for your wisdom through it to open our hearts and open our minds to your word. We just lift up our speaker, Jeremy, to you this morning, and just pray that you'll put your words on his tongue as well, Lord, and we just lift this time up in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Our scripture this morning, our scripture reading is from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, which is probably right up there on the screen for everyone to read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord for that. That in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God made his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add to the reading of his word this morning. And it's my pleasure to introduce Jeremy to us today, and Catherine, his wife, and so great to have you guys here. I'm going to try not to embarrass you, and I'm going to hope that as I tried to put this together, I didn't mess anything up, but it's just a little introduction. In 2010, after traveling with E3 Partners to Rwanda, Africa, Jeremy had the opportunity to see firsthand what E3 was accomplishing through their short-term strategies. It was at that point that he felt called to that work in a bigger way. Jeremy now serves as the executive director of E3, leading the Canadian team from coast to coast. In addition, he's the national strategist for E3 Canada's work in the Philippines and serves on the IM Second Global Team. Did I get it right so far? Good. Woo-hoo. He was recently joined in ministry by his wife, Catherine, who is gifted in working with people and in communications and is thrilled that she has joined the team. I love this part. Jeremy said that people often joke about he and Catherine's home being the United Nations. When I read that, it just put a smile on my face. They have been blessed to adopt 4 amazing kids from 2 countries and have hosted dozens of long-term international students. In their home, every child is loved as though they are blood, as it should be. Their home is always buzzing with activity, and they love to welcome friends and host gatherings. So I'm going to invite myself, okay? Perfect. It's my pleasure to invite Jeremy here this morning. Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. And by the way, you are the first person ever to introduce my wife as being new staff at E3 because it's so brand new. So that's super exciting. Thanks so much. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. First of all, I came to town a little bit early, and I went to the church across the street, so I already preached my first sermon. This is my second. No, my other joke, I don't have a lot of natural wisdom, humor, but I saw on here it says 7 minutes for my sermon. I was getting stressed, and then I saw that's camera position 7. So it's not a 7-minute sermon. Good, but thank you for the introduction. That's awesome. All of those things are true, but above all, I'm just a servant. I'm a servant of Christ. And my wife and I just adore people. We're about the most extroverted people we know on the planet, but COVID kind of messed that up a bit, so we're kind of getting used to hosting people again and being out in the public and preaching messages, and so it's just a delight to be here. And I want to say this church is really warm and welcoming and inviting. I'm not looking to become your pastor, but it's really warm and welcoming and inviting, and I do have a lot of connections in the church in Southern Ontario, so I will spread the word. It kind of feels like coming home. Catherine and I used to pastor, we were associate pastors in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, First Baptist Church. Yeah, Canadian Baptist, Western Canada. And you remind me of Uncle Bob from, right? So it feels like coming home. So it's really awesome to come here and share a message. So it was about 13 years ago, Catherine and I were pastoring in Prince Albert, and she became deathly ill, and just weeks and weeks and months in hospital, and eventually the doctor said she has about 3 months to live, and I just didn't know how to pastor and have 4 young kids at home. That's not me. That's your phone. Sorry, bless you. You scared me for a minute there. I'm like, oh, that's a cardinal pastor sin. But it's okay for you. No judgment in Christ. that's good. Well, as you can see, my wife, by the grace of God and a last-minute miracle, the Lord healed my wife and released us from our pastorate. And then we were like, what now? And God called us to launch this thing called E3. And so we want to equip the church. Anywhere, anybody will give a listening ear. We want to equip you with tools to help you do evangelism and then establish the church where the church doesn't exist. Or in this case, grow the church, right? Fill the sanctuary. Amen? Two of you are committed to the call. All right, good. We're going to fill the church, amen? All right. So equip, evangelize, and establish. We have seen 848,000 churches established globally, and we missed our mark of 1 million. Shame. But the Lord's doing unprecedented things all over the world, and we needed some tools that would reach people in Pakistan in the same way that they might reach them in Kitchener. And so we created this viral website called IamSecond.com. Are any of you familiar with IamSecond? This is literally the first time anywhere on the planet where nobody has ever... Okay. Anyway, IamSecond.com is... We just created a bunch of, for lack of a better word, testimonies. They're testimonies of average people like you and me and some really, really big-name celebrities who are willing to put their name out there and say, here's my story of what went on in my life. And then there was this crisis moment, or there were addictions, or there were abuses, or things that went down. And then they yield their life to Christ. And in the end, they say, I'm putting others above myself. God is first. I'm second. And we put some of these videos, and it went viral, and it exploded on the internet. We're over 80 million views on our native website, not including all the other ones. Right now, we're tracking about 21 million views per year of these testimonies all over the planet, literally being accessed from every country on the planet, except for Mount Forest. So, all right. Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to mention that to you. So you can check that out. All the videos are free and able to be accessed. And you can use those as tools to share with people in Mount Forest to start a conversation about faith so that they might come to know Christ. And like we said, then we'll fill the sanctuary. Amen? A lot more people are on board. Good. We're trending in the right direction. The whole idea for I Am Second came from this fellow named Norm Miller in John chapter 12, verse 32. And this is actually really cool because I'm doing the Bible in a year with six other guys, and we're doing this for accountability and growth. And this was actually in my devotions this morning. I'm like, oh, so cool. It's in the sermon, and it's in the text this morning. But Norm read this passage, and it says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And the verse after it says, and Jesus indicated this because of the manner in which he was about to die. All right? And so Norm is the owner of Interstate Batteries. Anyone know Interstate Battery, that brand? They have over 300,000 retail stores around the world. This guy is a big business dude. Well, he read this, and it's like it leapt off the page. And he says, what if we make Jesus famous, lift him up, not crucifying him over again, you know, but lifting him up in society, in our community, on billboards, on TV, at the schools, if you can get in the schools with a good message anymore. All these, if we lift up Jesus, will he in fact draw all people to himself? And the answer is yes. Amen? All right, so now I'm going to give you some brutal facts. Okay, this is the State of the Union. 40 years ago, French Canada boasted 86% adherence to Catholicism. And Quebec saw the most rapid decline of any Western nation, falling today to less than 6%. Okay, I know we're not here to, you know, grow the Catholic Church. That's not our heart. We're evangelicals. We have some differing thoughts. But that ought to concern us as Canadian Christians that 80% of the Catholic Church walked out the door in a span of 40 years. Okay? Evangelicals, a staggering 0.6% call themselves believers today, born-again believers in Quebec. And less than, that is less than Afghanistan, and is just a bit higher than the most atheistic country in the world, the Czech Republic. This is in our country, and, you know, there's all sorts of things that you can do with statistics, and statistics are just meant to show us that there's an issue, there's a problem. So I want to make it pictorial for you so you see it. Next slide. Okay, so in the United States, our neighbors to the south, okay, they claim to have 30% born-again evangelical believers. So if we had 160 people in a room, all right, which is about the median size of a church globally, 48 people out of 160 are going to say, yes, I'm a born-again believer. And that seems like a great number. But the reality is, for the 48, 112 are still going to die without Christ. That's a problem. Would you agree? Okay, next slide. Let's bring it home to Canada. So if we're looking at the statistics across Canada, and if we're really generous, and say that 10% of Canadians are born-again believers, the statistics are showing a lot lower, perhaps even as low as 5%, but nonetheless, let's use 10%. Out of 160 people, that means 16 people are born again and will stand before Jesus with us if we're born again and we're standing in the kingdom. That still means 144 people will die without Christ. Is there a problem with this picture? Well, let's look at our province of Quebec. The dots go down to one, friends. One person out of 160 say they're born again. 159 out of 160 will die and go into eternity without Christ in La Belle Province. There's something wrong with the picture. So if we put this together, you know, the Bell Center, the big stadium in, is it in Montreal there? For each group of 15 born-again believers, 2,544 people will die without Christ. So if this church has maybe 114 people in the walls of the church, we could fill the Bell Center with over 18,000 people who will walk into hell. Is there a problem with the picture? And that's why I'm here today. I'm here to present to you a biblical case for multiplication. I'm not here to preach a message from Jeremy Dorton. I'm not here to convince you of anything, but I would like to invite each of us to allow the scriptures to melt our heart, and then you have one sole responsibility after this message. You stand before the Lord and say, God, what do I do with this now? Okay? So we're gonna go rapid fire in the 7-minute sermon that I've been allocated in the worship order. All right? And we're gonna go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And look for God's heart. What does God say about multiplying in the earth? Okay, are you with me? Okay, I don't have my Bible up here because I would never be able to turn so fast. I know you're Baptist, so sword drills up. Everybody's, no, okay. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Now, don't worry about Genesis. Think about you. In the image of God, he created you, each of you in this room. And then God blessed them. You are blessed. And he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. And what does it say? I want you to say it with me. It's in bold and underlined. It says, go and fill the earth and subdue it. So that's the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Now we step forward, Genesis chapter 3. Already we got the fall of man. Oh, great. Sin enters into the world. Adam and Eve, the garden, you know the situation. Something happened in the heart of mankind there. The serpent brought the temptation, but mankind, something shifted in their heart away from God, and they fell into sin. So then we skip forward to Genesis chapter 6. The Bible's so interesting sometimes. We're only 6 chapters into the Bible, and things are getting difficult. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. And here's your encouraging verse of the day. And every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Wow. That didn't take long, did it? From Genesis 1 to Genesis 6. And then comes the flood. The problem is, at the very core of God's heart, at the very beginning, he said, I'm making you in my image. Go and fill the earth. It's one of the first things he says, and everything was working against it. So we get to Genesis chapter 9. Then God, he does not give up on humanity. He could have wiped out all of creation, all of humanity, but he saved a remnant. Then he blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, you, my remnant, I'm not giving up on you. He says, be fruitful, increase in number, and what does it say? Fill the earth. Where did you see that before? Genesis? Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, 6 was the flood. But yes, Genesis chapter 1. Right? So then we get to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. You know that story. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech, and now people were starting to move. They were filling the earth. And it says, as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there, and they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks now instead of stone and tar for mortar. And so they're becoming builders. This is good. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we might be scattered over the face of the earth. Wow. Talk about a direct rebellion against the heart of God. Right? God said, go and fill the earth. Go and fill the earth. The flood happens. Go and fill the earth. You're blessed. Go. And then already by Genesis 11, let's make a name for ourselves because we don't want to be scattered around the world. Fascinating, the human heart. So God calls Abram. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And who? What does it say? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. No matter what mankind does, the plan of God will never be thwarted. Amen? God's heart is that all would come to know him. You're going to see that in Jesus. You know this, friends, but I want the word to show you. So we come to the Exodus. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. It says, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you, my followers, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. God is saying, if you follow me, I'm going to send you out. You're going to fill the whole earth, and you're going to be my most treasured possession. Incredible. And Isaiah chapter 49 says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. You just see it growing and growing right from Genesis to Revelation, that God's heart is that all would come to know him. We get all the way to Psalm 67. You've read half the Bible this morning. How are you doing? All right. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us. Maybe you say that at the end of the service sometimes, right? So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation, where? In all the nations. God's heart is for all the nations, including Canada and Mount Forest. All the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us still so that all what? The ends of the earth will fear him. See, God's driving it into our heart. His heart is for multiplication. Where? What's the expanse of this thing? Habakkuk. I don't know if you've read there lately. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth might be filled. What does it say? Thank you. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Incredible. You're still suffering jet lag from coming back from Finland because the waters covering the seas are big. Right? Right? And God is saying his glory is far greater than that Pacific Ocean that you flew over. Malachi 1, verse 1. My name will be great where? Among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place. Pure incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great where? Among the nations. What's this talking about? Incense. We don't burn incense in our Baptist church, right? But you did. It's the worship team. It's offering incense of worship, the offerings that we give to the Lord of our time and our resources and our talent. God is saying all of these things are going to rise up to me all over the planet. And then, of course, now we get into the New Testament. Oh, we got the good stuff now, right? Matthew chapter 28, you know it. Then Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go, friends, go. In your going, make disciples. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then this glorious promise, friends, surely God is with you to the very end of the age. You're not going alone. You're not a wimp. You're not a spiritual wimp. You're going in the power of Almighty God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. If you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. Therefore, you have the power of Almighty God in you, and you will be my witnesses in Mount Forest, in Alma, in Drayton, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Make it your own. This is for you, friends. And that's why we read the scripture earlier. If anyone is in Christ, now I don't want to embarrass anyone, put you on the spot, but would you say you are saved? You are in Christ? If you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. The new creation has come. Your old nature, the old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God. You couldn't have done this, friends. God saved you. God reconciled you to himself through Jesus Christ, and he gave you a ministry. Your ministry is to help the people outside the doors of this church get reconciled to God. What does it mean to get reconciled? What is reconciliation? Help me out. Anyone? Interactive sermon moment. Okay, we're on the platform. You're in the danger zone. What does it mean? Have you ever had a fight with someone and had to reconcile? You're making things right. As simple as that. You're going to help your ministry. If you're in Christ and you put up your hand spiritually today in your heart and you're saying, I'm in Jesus, the ministry has been given to you to make things right with others out these doors and help them make it right with Christ. It's pretty cool. God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ. And don't miss this. Not counting man's sins against them. Now, you seem like a really warm and inviting church to me, but all too many people outside the walls of this church, all they see us as believers is, you shouldn't live that lifestyle. You shouldn't do this. And they perceive that we're wagging our fingers at people all over the place, but Christ himself, right here, says that our job is not to count man's sins against them, but he's committed to us a message of reconciliation. My job is not to go outside the walls of this church and tell everything they've done wrong, but my job, my ministry, is to go outside the walls of this church and tell them that there is a glorious message, that they can be set free from whatever's holding them down. Amen? So then, church, hopefully you're still in agreement because it's not my message, it's the word. We, FBC, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who represents your nation in another place. You're representing God's kingdom outside the doors of this church. You are ambassadors, as though God himself was making the appeal through you. Every time you open your mouth out there and you share a little bit about Jesus, it's as though God himself is speaking through you. Isn't that awesome? It's a lot less scary when you realize God's the one making the appeal. And we implore you. It says implore is a word we don't use. We beg you. It's saying we should be out in the streets begging people, saying, come on, I beg you on Christ's behalf. Come on, be reconciled to God. Make it right with God. Let's go. Let's go. This should be the heart of every believer. Let's go. 1 Peter 2, 9, but friends, FBC online as well. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Wow. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. Don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough for the kingdom of God. I'm not good enough. I'm not clean enough. I don't have it together to share my faith. Come on. You are the special possession of God. You are a treasure in the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. He's not standing there saying, you haven't done enough. No, he loves you. And he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. everyone on the planet. In fact, 1 Timothy says it this way, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants what? Say it with me. All people to be saved. Every person that walks by you every day, God wants that person's heart. And he wants them to come to a knowledge of truth. And he wants to use you and me in sharing that message. And it all culminates in this, friends. This is the grand scheme of God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And in fact, when you were doing that that song, and the men had to sing it seven times, and the ladies were doing this cascading thing, I'd never heard that before. And I thought, oh, that seems like a picture of what it could be before God in heaven. After this, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And that's the mission of God, is that we will not just fill the sanctuary, although we want to. We want to fill heaven. Populate heaven together. Amen? Amen. I didn't ask how long I'm actually allowed to preach. How are we doing for time, brother? We have a couple more minutes? I'm going to ask you in this sound booth if you would advance about 7 slides to the three circles. I would like to share a tool. I just feel like I'm supposed to do this morning. I want to share a little tool with you. Keep going. To help you to share your faith with other people. I put some tools at the end of the sermon just in case. This is a simple tool. Oh, I left my phone down there, but we even have stickers on our phone. So everywhere we go, we're ready to share this. A lot of times we as believers, we just don't share our faith because we're scared and we don't know what to say. So this is a simple little squiggly drawing where we'll approach people and say, hey, can I just share a good news story in like 3 or 4 minutes with you? And if people are willing to engage, we'll draw this out. Now, the next slide starts with clicks and animations. Do you want to try it, see if it works? Next click. Perfect. So if I'm meeting with somebody, they're willing to have a conversation, or we go to a coffee shop, say I show them an I Am Second film, send it to them and say, hey, let that start the conversation about faith, and then why don't we go out for coffee? Now I want to press in a little deeper and actually get to the good news. This is what I generally do to share the gospel, okay? And it's a lot less threatening. I'm not scared because this serves as a good script. So I will draw a circle, and I'll scribble through the middle of it and say, hey, this circle represents brokenness. And you notice there's some squiggly lines coming off the brokenness circle? Well, those represent all different types of brokenness in society around us. So I need your help on this, okay? We're gonna talk it and I'm gonna teach it at the same time. So give me some examples of brokenness that you see in the world around you, church. Shout them out. Depression, addiction, divorce, anger. Any more? Poverty? Yeah. Okay. Wars, famines, there's all sorts of things all around us. Even sometimes we have this yearning inside us and we like try to satisfy it with buying the latest and greatest things and we can shopaholics. Anyone? No. There's all sorts of examples of brokenness around us. And I will tell the person, every time we try to deal with this brokenness by ourselves, those cords are kind of like bungee cords, those squiggly lines, and they snap us back in, and we just get a lot more brokenness. That's why you see cycles of poverty, cycles of addiction, cycles of war and famine, things happening that just can't change. But this is not how God designed things. Next circle would be God's plan. So God had a plan, put a heart in the middle. God loved us so much, he designed us to be in a perfect relationship with him, that we were like friends with God. We could communicate with him and spend time with him, and we were perfect. We didn't deal with all this brokenness. So then I ask the person, how do we go from this perfect plan to all of this brokenness? And they'll give all sorts of ideas, and that's where we'll draw in the next line, sin. Well, what is sin? Somebody help me. If you were telling one of the young ones today, what is sin? What would you tell them? Miss the mark. Exactly, yeah. Sin is anything I think or say or do which breaks God's commands, right? I don't whip out my Bible and start sharing it at the person that I'm sharing, but the Bible does say that for all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory. We all miss the mark, right? So if we stop here, this is a bad news story. Everything was perfect. It's now all broken because of your sin, buddy. Well, no, God had a plan. That's where we draw the third circle. God sent his son, Jesus, to pay the price for our brokenness. He died willingly on the cross to pay the price for your brokenness and mine. And not only that, he died, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Okay? And the deal is, if we make him like the king of our life, put, you know, it's not about me. I don't want to be number one. I'm second. Make Christ the king. If we turn, that's the next animation. If you turn from your sin and choose to believe in Jesus, and then the next one, make him the king of your life. You follow Jesus one more, then you can be restored. And that's where 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, the old will go, the new will come, and you will be restored into a relationship with God. So, that's just a simple little tool that you can draw out. I've seen incredible life transformations from a simple tool like that. But the choice is yours, friends. I've presented the biblical case for multiplication. I've given you a tool. Now, I want to land this sermon and just ask you to close your eyes. And like I did at the beginning of the message, I asked you, I encouraged you, that your one role will be to ask the Lord, what am I to do with this? Okay, I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to sit at the piano, and then I'm going to end this sermon with a song. And kind of, it's kind of like what happened with you today happened with the disciples. Nobody stood and cheered or applauded for them, but they decided to abandon it all for the sake of the call of the Lord Jesus on their life. Bless you. Nobody stood and applauded them, so they knew from the start this road would not lead to fame. All they really knew for sure was Jesus had called to them. He said, come follow me, and they came. With reckless abandon they came. Empty nets lying there at the water's edge told a story that few could believe and none could explain. How some crazy fishermen agreed to go where Jesus led, for Jesus had called them by name. And they answered, we will abandon it all for the sake of the call. No other reason at all but the sake of the call. Wholly devoted to live and to die for the sake of the call. Drawn like the rivers are drawn to the sea. Well, there's no turning back, for the water cannot help but flow. Once we hear the Savior's call, we'll follow wherever he leads, because of the love he has shown, and because he has called us to go. We will answer, we will abandon it all for the sake of the call. No other reason at all but the sake of the call. Wholly devoted to live and to die, not for the sake of a creed or a cause, not for a dream or a promise, but simply because it is Jesus who called. And if we believe, we'll obey. We will abide. for the sake of the call. No other reason at all, but the sake of the call. Wholly devoted to live and to die for the sake of the call. For the sake of the call. For the sake of the call. Amen. So the choice is yours. Will you abandon whatever it is that might hold you back from sharing your faith and just dare share the good news with those around you? Amen. Brother.